Today is the 9th day of March 2014, and I have the honor and privilege of being at Gaia's Garden with an old friend, Kirit. Welcome, Kirit.
Thank you, Mara.
We always like to begin at the beginning and ask everyone, how did you first hear of Mother and Sri Aurobindo, and how did you first come here?
I came in 1972. I left Holland in 1971, and I was making a world trip for I didn't know how long that time. And as I was interested in yoga, I was practicing Hatha Yoga. India was just on the list to be visited. I had an address from my teacher in Bangalore, but while I was in Karachi, I stayed with the Franciscan. I was ill, and they took care of me for about 2 weeks. And they asked me, what do you want to do in India? I said, I want to study yoga. He said, we have a confrere in Karachi, which is Ruud Lohman.
Oh.
And they gave me all his books, which I read during I was ill. Then they asked me to deliver a letter in Goa because the borders was closed. First time I tried to enter India was the war, so I had to go back. And then I flew in Bombay. I delivered a letter in Goa, and then I went to Bangalore. But it was not as I felt it is. But I had that book, All Things New, from Ruud Lohman in my mind. And I went, take the bus, night bus to Pondicherry. The next morning, they dropped me somewhere in a red desert, and I was incredibly happy. I was just in bliss. I felt I was coming home, but where, I didn't know. That was the first time
when
I came.
It was totally barren.
21st of May, 1972.
72. When did you first meet Mother?
So first I stayed with Ruud. Mm-hmm. For about 10 days in camp, or Peace as it was called at the time.
Peace, as it was called, the Matrimandya Workers' Camp.
Right.
Peace.
Right. Then Tuan came, we shared a storeroom. Then you put me somewhere in the pump house, there was a hut available. And then I remember about that time somebody said, now it's about time you meet Mother. And so I had to prepare. I think I had to make a photo. I made special dress because my clothes were all old. And also they said you should not wear your glasses. I don't know why. Anyhow, there was a whole group, but to my surprise, they let me go first, and the group had to wait. And I had a personal meeting with Mother, which was very special.
Did she speak to you at all?
No, she didn't
all
speak.
In silence.
But it was all in silence and very intense. And then at the end, she smiled. And I went out and I cried.
We all did.
I was very young, so the impact of it that time I didn't realize, but it never left me. So that's probably still. Finally, after 24 years, I came here to settle down. I tried earlier. In 75, I came here with my first wife. Mm-hmm. We stayed for some time with Mali in utility. That time it was one of the most beautiful communities in all of this.
Yes.
Very well disciplined. Stayed in the tree hut. That was also the first time I walked through the canyon, and it flashed in my mind, there should be a dam here. So maybe one of the seats, I don't know. Anyhow, my first wife said that it was a very interesting experience, but to come and live in Oroville, she didn't feel like, so I chose for her. I kept in contact with Oroville. I became member of Oroville International Holland. I start fundraising for tree planting. I supported Meenakshi's school for education. And then finally, when my life changed a lot in 1996, then I came, 24 years later, and so I settled down here.
You only met Mother one time,
and
twice?
Sri Aurobindo centenary darshan 15 August 1972. I went to his route and we're standing in the street. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about Rude?
Yeah.
Because no one has spoken about him yet.
Yeah. He was for me very inspiring. The way he was writing, of course, first. So his books never left me, and that made me actually come here and see what it was. And then when I was staying with him, yeah, he guided me. He told me, you read this. Of course, it was Satpam's book, which we all read the first time.
Yes.
The Basis of Sri Aurobindo's Yoga,
yes,
and so on. And
was Rude a Jesuit priest?
No, Franciscan.
Franciscan.
Yeah.
Ah.
And then his father came. Mm. So actually I made also quite close contact with his father. They came even to visit me in Holland later. And it was...
And
he was very creative. He was very inspiring. Already that time, when I came, he had planted already some Sri Aurobindo's Compassion close to his hut. And he said, yes, we are starting the gardens. Which you were also trying to do.
And he wrote the book House of the Third Millennium?
Also, yes.
Which was on the Matrimandir.
Right, yeah.
And I guess he was on the construction team since the beginning.
Yes, he was. But not only that, he had many other things. He was very creative and he was very social. And on many levels, he was active. Yeah. He was also, a juggler and then magician.
So you worked with me for a while. But when did Gaia's Garden... When did the vision come of it?
That was already in Holland. I had my first Gaia's Garden in Holland. Oh. I bought about 1 hectare farm land, plus an old farm. And that was because of my first wife wanted to go there. It was an old healing center which was for sale. So I moved from the west to the east of Holland, which has a big impact. And already that time it flashed me, like another friend of mine, Carol, went there and he was a step up to go to Oroville. So it went through my mind, now I'm going here, will be the next step Oroville. And it was, but I didn't realize at that time. So yeah, it was a very old place and she gave it first a different name, but when she left, she fell in love with somebody else. Then I really felt it has to be another name and it has to be Gaia's Garden. I have always been, since I was young, connected with the earth, with the soil.
Yes.
I grew up, my father died when I was 6, and so in the summer holidays I went to my grandfather. And my grandfather was growing flowers and seeds in order to make a living, later also tulips.
Tulips?
So, tulips, yeah. So in the summer and other holidays, I was there first playing and then later just helping him on the field. So the smell of the flowers, of the soil, ingrained in me, and it never left me. And then when I met you here, you gave me another push. You taught me certain things, like I remember making the compost that time. Should not burn the leaves, should make it nicely into compost. And of course, all these basics, they were coming. And then later when I was having a house and a garden myself in Holland, and of course tried to provide my own food and food for the soul, a garden with flowers.
And when did you come here and start Gaia's Garden?
96. I was a teacher for 23 years. When the summer holiday started, 2 days later I was here. I quit my job. I felt I've been doing enough teaching. I wanted to do something else. And for sure I was not finished with the concept of Gaia's Garden. And as I was, and you put me there in Matrimandir Gardens, I was hoping to help create Matrimandir Gardens. But as I didn't know the tropical species, I needed a place where I could experiment, where I could learn and how they behave and all what is to it. And that takes time. And this is finally just a learning school which I was thought might be useful if we go to Madre Media Gardens again.
But, we will.
But first, they should allow us to plant trees. Because I think all the flowers are very much suffering, being too much in the heat.
Sri Aurobindo writes, all things shall change in God's transfiguring hour. And that has to be our faith.
Yeah.
In the Matrimonial Gardens.
Yeah.
They will be built according to the Divine's plan and not mental concepts.
Absolutely.
And Gaia's garden has a force about it that is peaceful, yet joyous, radiant. Tell us a little more about the building of it. It must have been a tremendous work.
Yeah, so first I had to buy the land. I heard from Tineke that that time Juanita needed a gardener and maybe she had a place to stay.
Oh yes, I remember Juanita, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then her neighbor, Franco, he said, there is land for sale here. And as my concept would not fit so much first in the galaxy plan, because I wanted to create something with a big garden, and there of course it's very limited. The Greenbelt has its limitation because you're not allowed to have electricity. So Jana, Frederick's sister, she is living next door here, she said, this is free experimental zone. I said, that will shoot me. So I bought the land. First entry group, of course, objected. You're not even newcomer. They were supposed to make me immediately newcomer the day I arrived, but of course, bureaucratically not. Anyhow, it all worked out. And of course, then first I start building. This was the first building. My mother came with me. She stayed with me for seven years.
I
built that house for her. Top was actually going to be my yoga studio. It was fully open with 12 pillars. I slept there first. And then we start building the guest house, because I knew many Aurovillians, they are here but cannot maintain, have to go to their country for some time, make money and come back. I didn't want to do that. I felt I have to provide myself. And then soon I got certain projects like building the check dams, which gave me some money from some income and to start. Not enough, but money came always when I needed it. And so when these two buildings were ready, I started with the garden on a very small scale, just around the house. You plant something during the rainy season, as you know, try to keep it alive during summer, and the next rainy season we continue.
Tell me about your work with check dams, because that was an essential work for Oroville, because all the topsoil was being taken by the rains into the sea.
Yeah, of course, when I came here and have been helping with raising money for tree planting, Ed came, for instance, to Holland once. I had some nice donations from some organization when I gave a slideshow. And when the guest house was finished, and you look from the top, you see everything is green. You think, I saw the job is done. But then my first monsoon in 97, that was a very heavy one, and then you see the sea was bleeding. Yeah? The topsoil was, the red soil was all in the sea, and it had this all red color. So I say, how come? So I went back to that canyon where I've been walking in 76, and I saw no dam there. Then I went upstream, and I saw check dams, which were made by the government, but the contractor had cheated on the cement. Instead of using 1.5, maybe used only 1.15. The outside looked very nice, but the inside was just rotten to the core with only sandy material. So then I saw Michael Mason, you must know, he has been working with you also, he told me, building on a check dam, and I thought, yeah, if you want to be, and then also as a newcomer, I heard that the water tables is falling down, the aquifer is depleting, so there will be a big problem. Then I thought, well, at least we should try to catch all the rainwater, also in the canyons. So the first time I worked with Michael Mason, and then we had an argument. He wanted to have the spillway this height. I said, Michael, come on. We can catch much more. We can go like that.
Yes.
No, Kirit, you are too ambitious. I said, Michael, I think it's okay. He said, okay, Kirit, you go your way. I go my way. So I worked on my own. And of course, each time when it was raining, even was 3 o'clock in the night, I went to check the check dams to see if it was really all right. Now, never one broke. Nearly one it happens, because I was building my first big check dam about 3 meter high.
Ooh.
And that was in February. And in February, that time, we got about 340 millimeters of rain in 1.5 days. And it was not cured, it was not finished. The sides, which we call the wing walls, they were lower than the spillway, so all the water was rushing around. I said, oh, it might break. Well, it was night, it was getting dark, I couldn't see anymore. But next morning when I came there, it was still standing. It was only that some sand and jelly on the other side was washed out.
And you didn't see four comers, did you? The dam that Bob built?
I knew that, and I knew that people were traumatized by that. So that's why, actually, Mike and others, they didn't dare to go in utility and aspiration.
Yeah. Bob Lawler built, I think, the first dam here with huge granite blocks and huge dam concrete and everything. And one rain, we watched it wash away.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, the force of that water coming through the canyons.
Yeah.
So how is it today? You're still doing work with the JCB.
Yeah, the canyon work, I canalized three canyons, and that is all the way up from Certitude to Quiet, and the Aspiration Canyon, the Bomia Pallium Canyon, and the Oromodel Canyon. They don't lose any water. Aspiration can lose water in extreme circumstances because it is a narrow canyon. It has not really the big body to collect a lot of water, and it is quickly silting in. So then afterwards, I saw many places which was actually too costly and too much money to build a check dam. It's also not needed. You can do landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
So then I start landscaping, which I already did close to the check dams, which is a JCB. Combine them, and I have been doing 5 years in Southern Forest. The water table came up 5-6 meters.
5-6 meters.
Yeah. International zone. I wanted to work already long ago, but then the development group Lavanier said, "Don't touch international zone." Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was sad to see the runoff, and that is a very special area because it has this Manavelli clay. You probably know the water can go in, then it cannot go further, it goes like that, and it goes up again. It's very difficult for penetration, so quickly it runs off, even though they did bunding, Larry's brother,
David.
David, he did a lot of bunding there,
yes.
But then every year the buns wash, the cows goes over it, they break. And then when you get really tremendous rain, it just washes out. So about 3 years ago, I got an invitation from the members of the International Zone if I could have a look and do something. So I said I will work 1 week, but then it was nice. All the different parties, Tibetan Pavilion, International House, they said, can you do this? Can you do that?
Oh,
so
wonderful.
I jumped on it immediately. And there was some complaint. Yeah, you were supposed to work only one week. I said, well, I got so many invitations. So then you observe during the monsoon, and then you see how it works. And I could see I could do much better. So the next year again, they were happy to have me again. Last year again. And last year rain was not so good. Still everything was full. So now I proposed one of the big ponds near visitor center. I will deepen it another 50 centimeters and enlarge it 5 meters so that it becomes more of a column. And also they're making a borewell now near the American House so it can feed also the borewell, hopefully.
Do you have to do a lot of desilting?
No, in general, I am reading the landscape and I see what is needed. That can be a shallow pond, that can be sometimes just a percolation pit, that can be bunding. Of course, when you are in the canyon, you cannot take the silt out. I can only raise the check dam.
Raise the check dam, yeah.
Unless you have the material, but that is much too costly to take soil out. So if needed, these canyons, check dams, they can still be raised. There have been check dams where I've been working on three times. One had really a big potential. We had 4 years ago a cyclone which gave good rain. It was the only time I saw all the basins from the beginning, Sukhavati, Centrovorode, to Bomiyan, full and overflowing. And that time my pump in the borewell broke down. So we measured the water, and the water had come up 3 meters. So the last big check dam, I think I showed him once, I raised it again with 1 meter. Though not every year it gets filled in, but if that occasion comes, yes, you should not lose that water.
How much would you say still runs into the sea? What percent? Nothing?
No.
Of anything? In Oroville?
The roads, of course. That
the
can happen.
Roads.
The roads. Yeah. But the canyons,
nothing.
They hide. Of course, when we have a really torrential rain, I said this Aspiration Canyon might lose some water. But when the rain stops, in general, the flow also stops.
And what about rainwater harvesting now?
Yeah.
You do it here, I take it.
Yes. The roof of the guest house, in our house, we have an underground tank of 100 cubic meters, which easily fills up in the rainy season. I can actually harvest more, but that means I have to increase my tank. This is, of course, costly, but if there is a saline problem, actually, this whole area where we live has the Cuddalore aquifer, which is still yielding very good water. Even the Kota Kupang Pansiat, next to Putus, made a big tank and bore well. They're pumping the water from here to there. Bomia Paliam and Kula Paliam have now their bore well near utility. But the Vanur aquifer, center Oroville, with Greenbelt, is actually getting saline.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
Yeah. Well, when we came, we had wells that were just a few meters.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And we had water.
Yeah.
And then I've heard it goes down over 100 meters in some places.
Yeah, because all the bore wells, of course, everybody, I call it, has his pipe in the water bank and takes out indiscriminately. On top of it, the farmers, they get subsidized in their electricity. So if they pump and even the water is not needed, they don't feel the pain in their wallet by pumping, which is, of course, a wrong policy. I don't say that the farmer should not be subsidized, but in another way, not through water. We have to learn to be more careful with water. Other ways, drip, sprinklers.
Tell us about the flowers and their significances and how you began to introduce them into Gaia's garden.
Of course, I was a flower freak, I guess. And you're always looking for it. So, actually, the book existed a long ago, but then you made, I think, these two beautiful books, very big ones.
With a Lilo.
Yeah. So, yeah, these are still there. And then, of course, for me, I had to see which one also are suitable in this climate. There are, of course, many flowers which are in the book, which are also not possible to grow here.
From temperate climates.
Yes. Which was still also has been given to Mother by you, I guess.
But you remember that I often tell the story how I would talk to the flowers and say, in the middle of the summer when it was boiling hot, I would tell them, if I can make it here, you can make it here. And many of them would come. We have so many new flowers that we never had before.
Yeah, And now, of course, we have more the semi-shade.
Yes.
The soil is improving. In the beginning, this was a cashew tope. All you see here wasn't. Okay? So it was a cashew. The cashew slowly it took out, but the soil was sandy and very poor. And I didn't have the mulch. I didn't have the biomass.
Yes.
And now you can see it yields biomass. So each
yes.
time you bring up layer after layer. So what was suffering and dying in the beginning does better now and lasts longer.
Yeah. What other construction have you done here? You've created many buildings.
Well, that was our house. That's our house. Then while I was working on the check dams, I felt in Bomiapalium there should be a school there, as I was a teacher. And I've been supporting a Meenakshi school for dropouts. I felt also Bomiapalium was a bit neglected by Oroville. There should be a school there. So I talked to Kulapim School Trust by name of Guna. And I said, I think it's good that Bomiapalium gets also a school. And there was Oroville land. And also it was taken out of politics because Bomiapalium had a school from Oroville. But just then, according to the Panchayat leader, the children from his supporters were allowed to go there and the others not. So I thought, if we have a school here, which is on Oroville soil, all the children are welcome, even different caste. And
yes.
So they said, it's okay if you finance it. So I was lucky, I got donations from Switzerland, so I could build. Started with three classrooms there with 100 children. I think there are now about 500 children. Total school has 2,500 children. And these are all children from the bio region. And yeah, as you know, when we came here first, the people were very poor, there was no education, they were starving. And mother mentioned that, that is actually a big challenge of Oroville, that it's not that we are a gated community ignoring the outside world, but we have to integrate
yes.
with the local population
yes.
and support them as well.
Yes.
That is not just by giving, but by reaching the tools in the hands that they can develop themselves and find their own way.
What do you see in the future for the development of Oroville?
Well, we were talking about how it is going and that if the divine touch is there, it will happen. I think also eternity has the luxury of time.
Yes.
And we are always very much in a hurry.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe in the future of Oroville, and if this Oroville might not work out, another one will come, because what the divine has in his mind, and it's of course very stupid to say, because this supermind is for us ungraspable, we cannot grasp it, but yeah, I was mostly touched by Sri Aurobindo and the mother that we are not escaping from the earth, but that the earth is the way to be divine. And that will happen, even though we mess it up here in Oroville. I feel we are very much in kindergarten. we are playing and we are doing, but maybe the divine is just laughing about us.
But the rest of the world is in preschool, polluting.
Yes, polluting
the rivers
yes,
and polluting
yes.
the
of course,
atmosphere.
Yeah, and actually, as we are in the outer, we are facing the same problems here, close by. Yeah, of course, we are a bit of an oasis, and you always hope that the seeds of these oases are being spread
yes.
to other places.
Yes.
And it's happening also. We got many interesting guests here. From all over the world, as it is a guest house. And like for instance in Australia we had a a Buddhist Mongol lady here, and she said, yeah, there are many alternative communities where people trying a different way. So, you know, there are seeds anywhere in the world. And of course, when you look at the news and the newspaper, we are horrified. But I think there are small seeds which will give hope for a better future as well.
Do you have any questions for Kirit? We have a group of our photographers and helpers that come along all the time and can ask Kirit any questions.
What are the other extra activities are going on here, apart from a guest house and any other things?
Yeah, so I had two projects. That was the school. Yeah? Education, and I'm doing the rainwater harvesting by building first check dams and now landscaping. At the moment I'm doing that. Narad wanted to come last Monday. He said, I'm sorry, I'm in the field. I have been working now for a week in Buddha Garden. Started there also last year. I made another pond. I did some bunding. They had a problem with the land was very low. So also they couldn't plant trees because it was too soggy. So now we made some ponds which will drain the water in, and the soil we made terraces. So there they can hopefully now plant trees which will do well.
So do the children come here to work or learn something?
I get many people who I have to give excursions. So then I tell them about, this is not really a place that people, sometimes they said we want to come and help you in the garden. Of course that's difficult because I have a garden which then I first have to go and see what has to be done, tell the other one, it's better I do it immediately myself. So normally when I am not doing a project, in the morning I work myself in the garden.
Did you get that regular correspondence with the mother?
No.
And any guidance from her?
Not directly. I just met her twice. Once in a general darshan, on Sri Aurobindo's centenary, and once personally. Yeah.
You feel her guidance here?
Oh yeah,
in
sure.
In all your work.
Yeah. That was even when I was could not come here in the 70s, as I hoped. I was in Holland, and I think it was good I was there that time. I had experience as a teacher, which was very valuable, very precious. And I kept in contact, and I became member of Oroville International there, so I could support Oroville financially from Holland to here.
Mm. Oroville International in Holland has been a great, great contributor to Oroville's development. Mm. Mm. We know that, okay. How much has been given from Holland. Mm. Much more, I think, than America.
Oh, yeah. that's interesting.
A beautiful garden. Can you show us a little bit around?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So that we can.
Yes. It's excellent. Yes, let's do that.
So then I suggest we start near the entrance where you just came, right. And then we make a round.
Good.
My best friend, because I can have about 3 flowers. Not elaborately, but in very short.
I would like to start with some stones,
okay.
Because this land of Oroville is very old.
And I mean the stones behind, the petrified wood.
This fossil.
The fossils, yeah. This land of Oroville is very old, of course, part of the larger part here of this part of Tamil Nadu, but this petrified wood has been found last year by me in the international zone.
and it is the Araucaria tree at that time. Okay. It's 20 millions of years ago, got flooded, and then it became a fossil and petrified wood. And that is found all around here. The first time I needed for my check dams a lot of granite like this. So I asked my brother, can you bring me some granite for the garden? Then he said, I had a piece like this. He said, don't you want this? I said, as long as it doesn't come from the geological museum. Well, they found it while they were at soil mining. And you can see this still has this red tone. Although it is here many years, it still has this red color from this laterite. And that, as it was in the clay, it has more the natural color. This banyan tree is just a small cutting from the main one. Oh, there's a stick here. And it's only 12 years old, but of course, banyan sends its roots everywhere. It's the aspiration for divine consciousness, in full bloom. Yes. Yeah, this is a creeper which often messes up, so that's why I brought it up, let it hang down. And then you have to cut it, because when it goes fully down, again it roots and it spreads all around. It can be a pest then. Each plant has his own... Tababuya is now... This is the Tababuya. Tababuya argentia. Yeah.
Amelia's in all the great gardens. But never got around to writing the book.
Did you have them also in America when you did the Amelia people?
Oh, yes.
Separate and you don't water them, they are just about to start.
Yeah.
Here they go actually more or less the whole year round, except for a very short period during the
and it often blooms off season.
Yeah.
It'll bloom in the even in the monsoon season.
Yes, yes. Actually,
and it blooms quite a lot, doesn't it? It blooms frequently. And look at the leaf structure, like a spoon. Very unique plant.
It always wants to go high.
Yes.
So what I did often, I pruned it, and again, then when it is in the monsoon, I have a hole, to drill a hole.
Yeah.
I just put it in and fill it up, and it vanished. It's very strong.